George Washington said that religion and morality are indispensable supports to our political well-being as a nation. So what does that mean for our day, as religion and traditional morality seem to be losing much of their influence? Os Guinness once said that the Puritans lived as if they had swallowed gyroscopes, while we modern Christians live as if we have swallowed Gallup polls. How does social media impact our society? Dr. Gregory P. Seltz is the executive director of the Lutheran Center for Religious Liberty. He's based in Washington, D.C. He's also the speaker emeritus on the Lutheran Hour. And he's written an article recently entitled "Beware the Lemmings," where he warns against the potential of groupthink via social media, especially if that groupthink does not square with the Bible. I'm Jerry Newcomb. This is Focal Point, and Dr. Greg Seltz joins us once again on the program. Dr. Greg, it's always good to talk with you. Thank you.
It's great to be here with you, Jerry, as always.
Sure. So tell us about your article, "Beware the Lemmings," and how, and if any way, does that impact what George Washington was talking about? You know, hey, religion and morality are indispensable supports to our nation.
Well, again, it depends on what, when you start to talk about what impulses do you follow? And the Bible's very clear that there's a, you know, sinfulness in humanity. If we just follow our impulses and our passions and things like that, that we don't have anything that is an objective standard or an objective reality by which we're either aligned with, reconciled to, or motivated by. Well, we can be like the lemmings who literally follow people joyfully over the cliff. And in some sense, you're seeing that with the God is dead movement, the anti-morality movement that's encapsulated our nation. We just think that we can solve it as long as there's enough money, enough technology, and enough government. And that's the opposite of how the founders thought.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I'm not sure that there's so much of a God is dead movement mm-hmm. in our day, as there is so much as God is irrelevant in our day.
Right, the apathetic movement. Yeah, I just read an article on that as well. It's interesting you brought it up, that the apatheia, you know, the instead of atheist, which would be like, we don't believe in any God, we just don't care. We have so much stuff, and so we have so many things to bide our time with. We always have enough food. We always have enough of this, enough of that. We're apathetic to the issues that really, really matter. And maybe that's even worse, right? It really is.
You know, Greg, that's interesting you say that. One of my favorite quotes comes from one of the leading Puritans 300 years ago. He said, this is Cotton Mather, he said, "Religion begat prosperity, and the daughter hath consumed the mother." In other words, right. Because of applied Christianity, we have really prospered in our society. Again, he's writing this in 1702, and yet, because we have prospered so much, we never miss a meal, etc., we have forgotten God.
Yeah, and it's like the whole where your great grandfather's the one who had to walk to work, and he got up at 5 o'clock in the morning, but he did it because he loved his family.
No, that
and
was my
as it
dad.
Progresses, you know, the grandkids have all the prosperity of that, and they don't have to get up at all. And so it basically it reverses the trend, and then the next person comes in and says, "My goodness, we're going to have to start from scratch." You would pray that we would not be so foolish, right? And I think that's one of the reasons why God even leaves the shell of death into humanity. God has overcome death. He's overcome sin. He's done all those things. But we're so arrogant that we'll live it our way, even to the very moment of our death, which is as our body is wasting away, we're saying, "I still did it my way." Why not see it the other way and actually live an abundant life? And the founders wanted us to live free lives of faith abundantly.
Well, let's talk about social media. In your article about Beware the Lemmings, you write this, quote, "In the digital world, people aren't working through truth with patience and reason. They're reacting to symbols, slogans, memes, and bite-sized videos that bypass the mind and stir the gut and emotions," end quote. Comment on that, if you would.
Well, there's a book that was written a while back, Bowling Alone. I don't know if you recall that book. It was pretty phenomenal. And he blames in that book, he said in the 40s and 50s, we tended to do all the social indicators He's a sociologist. I think he was from Harvard. All the social indicators about doing things together, spending time together, eating together, all the voting together, bowling together was kind of his whole thing. Every social indicators was in the high 90s. And then in the 60s, it dropped off a cliff. And like now we were bowling alone. And the question was why? In his mind, it was television. So what we did is we went from a society of talking with each other, writing letters to each other, communicating and reading and struggling with what was being said so we could be clear. Now we just had images literally projected to us that gave us an emotion that satisfied us, and we were willing to then even bowl alone, as he said it. I think social media is taking that to the next level, where now it's not even just TV in the house where we all at least watched it together. Now we have it on the phone and we don't even talk to each other across the room. So social media goes after that which is, you know, placates us. And so it's almost like a drug being given to us and we become addicted to it, but we lose the capacity to have a relationship. Well, we were created to be in relationship with other people. That's what life is about. You get married so you can learn how to love. You get married so you can have a legacy of family. You want to be friends with other people. You want to bowl together. And so that's the challenge. I think social media obviously can deliver things to us that in an easy way. That's a good thing. But if we don't watch it, it'll destroy the essential things.
Let me ask you a question. Suppose a parent came to you and said, Dr. Seltz, at what age should I allow my child access to a social phone, you know, to a smartphone?
Yeah, well, how about why don't we just produce dumb phones? I just heard that concept told me where you can't go online. You can do all the texting. You can do all the phone calling. You can do all the things that we say kids need to do so that we can see that they're okay and they can call when they need to come home. But you don't need to have a computer in your hand until X number of days. I've talked to some people from Focus who talk about, you know, 16, you know, some talk a little bit younger than that. There is a sense though that if an adolescent gets hooked on it, if you use it to, you know, put them in front of the TV, put them in front of the phone, let them get into their own world too early. They don't have the moral capacity to realize what's being done to them. And there are algorithms that are out there that are designed to get them focused on selling them things and delivering them things that are no good for them. So we have to do some parenting. So we have to do some thinking on this, whether it's 12, 13, 14 years old. Know this, all the big folks who do all the tech stuff, they send all their kids to non-tech schools. Think about that for just a minute.
Well, you know what's crazy, though, too, is that a lot of services are rendered only through the smartphone. So, for example, there are a lot of parking meters. You can't even put in a quarter. You have to have some sort of app to be able to park.
You can't use your credit card. I don't know. I think you're at a point now where you're beginning to realize that there are people who realize they want to sell your children stuff. And if they can use that device in the hand to give them Captain Crunch all day long, they will, because they want to sell Captain Crunch. You and I both know that eating Captain Crunch all day long is really bad for us. Probably it will give us type 2 diabetes. So we've got to come to some detente on this. I struggle with the fact that kids can't, their brains don't even fully function, fully form until their early 20s. I mean, that's the data on that. So we can't be giving them, that's one of the reasons why we say 16 and under, they can't make these kinds of adult decisions because they don't have the moral framework to do something. They need parents at that point. We've got to get back to at least that understanding of this. I don't know where the line is just yet. I haven't done a lot of research on that. Focus on the family's done some more on that as well. But I think we're going to have to struggle with this because we want our kids to be critical thinkers, moral thinkers, because our culture depends on it. We need free citizens who can be morally directed and self-governing, but we also want people to know how to live the abundant life. And we don't want to sell any of that out, and I think we are.
It's interesting. You think about how long is a Sunday school class once a week? How long is a sermon, what, maybe 20, 30 minutes once a week? Although sometimes some churches have, our church has a, you know, half hour Sunday evening sermon, in an hour long service. But what does that input, you know, the several minutes compared, of the Word of God compared to, you know, hours upon end of social media that kids are consuming with their smartphones or some other way, through some other way?
Yeah, formation doesn't have, you know, those are things that give us wisdom, give us input, add data, but the formation in our church, there was a time when Sunday school, if you sent your kids to Sunday school, it was a bad thing because that meant you as the parents had abdicated your role. That our tradition was very conservative, in that regard. And so you would take your children with you, to whatever Bible class. And then you were the one at home who trained them. And even back in the confirmation days, the pastor would see if you did a good job and he would test the children, but he didn't train them. Well, now today, of course, the pastors do all the training, the pastors do all the examination, all those things. Formation comes at home, that you have time together, that you pray at the dinner table, that you have devotions with your family, the fathers, that the spiritual head of the home. Those are things that 100 years ago, that's how our families thought about these things. I think you can see how we've been moved away from that, and now somebody else is discipling your children.
When you refer to the lemmings and you talk about how social media works and so forth, and there's a lot of reaction to memes and things like that, would you say that we've seen a coarsening of the culture and a coarsening of even just the public discourse through social media?
I would say yes, because just look at how we surrounded the last Super Bowl. A lot of the guys playing on the field were Christian, and they have at least a sense of discipline and whether faith even motivates them to do as well as they can. And then all the accoutrements around it violated all those principles. They were vulgar in many ways, although he toned down his show, but some of the people he had on were very vulgar. And you start to say,
wait, who's the he you're talking about?
The Bad Bunny guy, the guy that did the...
He's even remotely pretending to be a Christian. Oh, please tell me he's not.
Yeah, of course. I mean, he... That's PR. In fact, the Puerto Rican people came out and said they didn't like people from Puerto Rico didn't like it. So he's obviously selling something, and he's selling sexuality, and he's selling vulgarity, and he's selling all those things. He put his best foot forward insofar as he didn't really let you know what he was trying to do. We don't want to serve our children over to that. But what I was pointing out is that the culture wants to sell you something at the most basic level so they can get a hold of your children. Discipline and focus towards an abundant way of living, a disciplined way of living, requires a whole different mindset. And they know that one sells faster than the other. We've got to be careful about that, because algorithms are moving our children just to the point where whatever makes them passionate, feel good about something immediately, you and I both know that can be a bad thing long term, that's what they're going to use to sell and to hook. And parents have to be concerned about that, obviously. It's the same thing with sexuality. Our kids are being told they can have sex in high school today. It's no big deal, except it ruins their lives long term. You know, we've all known that. Sex is a passionate thing, but it needs to be directed and virtuously committed to. Then it becomes a real blessing. So these are the kind of things that the Christian will always have to deal with in a permissive society.
You know, that's interesting. Years and years ago, I wrote an article with this headline. It was Playboy Ethics, Puritan Consequences. And the idea was, you know, people living out according to the flesh, and then all of a sudden they're surprised that this happens and that happens, you know, broken lives, you know, in the wake of that. Well, we have less than a minute to go. How do you want to wrap up this discussion on the impact of social media, especially in terms of the obedient would-be follower of Jesus Christ in this culture?
Manage all that stuff for the sake of the outcome, folks. And, you know, God always, these things can be good things. But remember, I quote that verse, God gave them over to their passions, not so much because he was trying to smack them in the face, but to show them what they were eventually losing. He wants you to have abundant life. He wants you to have joyful life. He wants you to have all those things. And so you use these blessings in a disciplined fashion for the sake of those you love. If you get that right, your relationship to God, your relationship to each other, then you can put that in its proper place. But if you live it for yourself, it can destroy. Don't let it do that to your children.
All right, Dr. Greg Seltz, thanks so much for being with us. Let me give you a website. It is lcrlfreedom.org. Thank you, Greg. All the best.
Indeed. You too. Take care, Jerry.
Okay, bye-bye.